Hello and welcome back to the United Masterclass, a tactical podcast about Manchester United. I'm your host, Haider Abani, and I'm joined as ever by Rob Blanchette. Rob, we are live straight off the whistle, and Manchester United have beaten Leeds 2-0 in what is potentially a massive, massive result for Man United. Great goal by Marcus, Garnacho coming on, silencing the doubters and the abusers that we've seen all week. And Man United got a huge victory, but the performance was bad, I'll be honest. United huffed and puffed. 70th minute, they got things going again with some key substitutions by Ten Hag. But what we're going to talk about today is fantastic result, a huge result for United. Now they're now up to second in the league. City have to play later on today. But we will actually nitpick a little bit, won't we, at some of Ten Hag's decisions and selections today. We haven't done that, I don't think, at all this season. But I think it's important to have a discussion because he's been very, very good, as we know, and he's doing a great job. But today things weren't quite right. We'll talk about all of that today. So yeah, how are you feeling? I mean, it's a massive result. And look, when you beat Leeds, it's always great, isn't it?
Of course. Fantastic result. 2-0. Should have probably been 3-0 at the end there. I think that VAR choice that they said Weghorst was offside, I'm not quite sure about, because I don't think it hits Maguire when you look at from the other camera angle. So it could have been 3-0 today, an even better result. But like, no need to be negative, first of all. That's the first thing what I want to say. You know, you win the game and that's really all that matters there. If you think about these two back-to-back games now, these War of the Roses derby matches, you got 4 points from six. So that's not as bad, is it? That sounds kind of better when you look at it, when you look at the games back-to-back. Overall, yeah, a sticky display. I would say United, maybe Leeds got in their head in the first game a little bit. You could see that. United a bit tentative, too slow with the ball progression from the back. We're going to talk, obviously, today about several parts of the game, but we're going to obviously always start off with the formations and with the tactics and with the selections. And I think today, I would say, yes, I get why he rotated. I'm talking about Erik ten Hag, but I didn't like the rotation. When, as soon as I heard the team and the team news, I thought, is this the right time to effectively change your whole back four? Because that's what it is. Delo's been out for a while, but obviously came back the last game. Harry Maguire, this is the first time he started away from Old Trafford since the Brentford mauling, 4-0. Luke Shaw, who's your left back and playing very well at left back, then has to play centre back. And then Malacia, who's done okay at left back, comes into the team once again as an auxiliary left back and doesn't really have a great game. He fought hard, but gives you absolutely no productivity that way. So I think that was a problem for United in the first half, and you could see that. I think it was absolutely clear to all United fans. But they did solve the issue with the substitutes in the second half.
Yeah, as Will says here, Rob, the performance wasn't great, but a massive 3 points in difficult circumstances. Ten Hag's adjustments were spot on.
Yeah.
Alan's saying here, Casemiro can't get back quickly enough. I'd even argue that with Eriksen, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. Guys, as always, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, give us a retweet as well on Twitter, and turn those notifications on as well, because we will be doing a show every single week. And you can give us a follow on at MainNightMC and Rob a follow on at _Rob_B. Rob, as always, we'll start with the overview of the selection and just our thoughts. So, as you said, I completely agree with you. United's lineup, when I saw it, I was really, really surprised. You know, so with David De Gea in goal, but as you said, the whole back forward changed. Dalot coming back in looks rusty. I'm going to be honest with you, and that's why I'm not going to give him too much criticism, because these are two hard games to come into. Like Leeds, every single year, this fixture, doesn't matter how they're playing, doesn't matter where they are on the table, they're very low on the table, they're going to turn up, they're going to be aggressive, they're going to press hard, they're going to be physical, they're going to make it a scrappy game, and that's what they've done today. So, yeah. For Dalot to come back into these two games, last game, midweek, Ten Hag didn't really have much of a choice. Wan-Bissaka was sick, but Wan-Bissaka's on the bench today. But, you know, as I'm sitting here right now, I think Ten Hag has got a decision to make in terms of who's going to start a right back coming into the next couple of weeks, because not to say Wan-Bissaka is a better player than Dalot, in my opinion. I know we disagree here. But Dalot, maybe it's too soon to be throwing him into the Barcelona game, for example. So Harry Maguire come in with Luke Shaw in centre-back. That was a real surprise. I understood the idea behind playing Maguire in the game midweek against Leeds. You know, I'd really struggled with ball progression, even with Varane and with Martinez. And a big part of that is the fact that we have no Casemiro, who likes to drop there, pick up the ball, but also Eriksen as well. So he went again with Sabitzer and Fred. We saw Malacia on that left-hand side, left fullback position. Fred and Sabitzer again. I was thinking, you know, he might let's say maybe put Martinez at defensive midfielder, maybe Lindelof. I was angling towards that, to be honest. Lindelof plus one of Fred or Sabitzer. I just thought United needed more defensive solidity when it came to the way the Leeds were transitioning. That Leeds transitioned a lot today, not as much as the other day, but they did cause United problems at the back. Then we saw Marcus on the left-hand side, Bruno attacking midfielder, and Jadon Sancho, who deserved his start. I think it was a bit unlucky to get hooked off as well. I thought he looked bright in that first half, and we saw that Veghorst dropped to the number 10 position, which we'll talk about today, and Veghorst up front. Again, I would have preferred to see Marcus at number 9. As soon as Marcus went to number 9 midweek against Leeds, he made things happen. His movement, his pace, he was much, much more of an issue for the centre-back pairing of Leeds. I would have played Sancho on the left, and I would have even maybe thought about Pulisic on the right-hand side, but I can see why he didn't. So all in all, like, look, ultimately at the end of the day, Ten Hag's a manager, he has to pick a side. He doesn't like to rotate a lot, but the selection was odd, to say the least. And so what we saw play out actually wasn't a surprise. And I think United got pretty lucky, to be honest, that they weren't 1-0 down going into the second half and into the 70th minute. But when he made those changes, this is why he's paid the big bucks. United took hold of the game. He won the game, Ten Hag, with his changes. But initially, I think the selection was very, very strange.
Yeah, I think what he'll probably say to us is that, you know, wasn't happy with the display, the normal stuff that he would say, and then say, you know, I made the changes and my substitutes won me the games. Because kind of he have said that in recent weeks as well, when he's made good substitutes. I think when you look at the selection, as I said, I'll start off again with the caveat. I get why managers rotate. I also get why Ten Hag hasn't rotated for virtually the whole season. The only time he's rotated is when he's been forced by suspension or injury. So that's your Casemiro point. That's the Eriksen point. We know that. You've got no choice with that. You've got to be able to change those positions. I think today, when we're looking at Martinez, and we do believe Martinez is suspended, isn't he, for the Barcelona game?
Yeah, he's not playing.
First leg.
Yeah, he's not playing.
So you don't play Martinez today, and you decide to play Harry Maguire. And I think there may be some logic there that the manager thinks that Maguire and Shaw, old mates, old buddies from England, maybe fit together better because they have that connection. And I think what we saw was that was not the case. Luke Shaw was actually all right in the back four. Harry Maguire, I think, had bits of the game where he was okay, but the ball progress from out the back and also the balls going back to De Gea were nowhere near the quality that we've seen in recent weeks. Just absolutely nowhere near the quality. So I'm not kind of trying to make this into a Maguire versus Varane. Can't even say it properly. I put my teeth back in. But you look at that, and it was obvious for like an hour that was a huge problem for Man United. Now, the manager might say, I've just got to suck that up. I know Maguire's not as good, but I've got to use him at some point. And you were just saying they use Lindelof potentially. There's different combinations, but I do think that Sancho and Delo both got hooked automatically because they haven't got enough minutes under their belts. So they were going off no matter what, whether you're winning or losing. That's just about minutes. So Sancho, I think, got an hour. Did Delo get slightly longer, I think? Or did he come off at the same time? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, he got a little bit longer.
But you ran the game. I think as soon as you brought Martinez on, the game kind of fixed itself. So United went in the first half from having no ball progression from the back four, virtually zero. It was all very fragmented and slow. And then the midfield went from being completely ineffective for the first hour or so to being a lot more functional. And United actually were getting forward on the front foot. And you saw that then when Garnacho came on with that moment, with those players, that Garnacho gave you width, Luke Shaw gave you width, that stretched the play to the left, and that killed Leeds. Game over. So this is why we do a tactical show, because tactics do matter. And you could see with this, I think the tactics at the start, yeah, I think you can definitely debate the selection. I didn't like the Maguire selection for obvious reasons, but I see why he did it. But however, the substitutes were the right substitutes. You got Garnacho on, who gives you impact. You just said there about Veghorst. I think what's interesting about Veghorst, and we'll talk about him dropping into the 10, was that he was probably one of our best defensive players today. So clearances from the box, blocks, and all of those things. This is why you have him in your team. He is not going to score you tons of goals. We do know this. He might not be as prolific as others, but it's about the whole team, isn't it? And he played well from 10, I think, in those later stages. He's been the one getting hooked, hasn't he? But he kind of went off. Then Marcus gets his header. Must say, and I know people think I've got an obsession with it, Bruno Fernandes needs to sort himself out. He's great at times and minutes and moments, and you go, that's the old Bruno. But my God, the first hour as a number 10, he was just rubbish on the ball. Every time he got the ball, never really brought others into
play.
But
Rob, who wasn't? Every single player on the pitch.
Everyone wasn't. Exactly.
And I feel like where I'll disagree with you, I think I agree. So what I'll agree with you is, and there's comments here, Nayar saying something similar. He's saying Bruno's good. He's not going to be a future number 10. I think all of that is nonsense because Ten Hag has shown just how important Bruno Fernandes is to this side. Bruno Fernandes is under a microscope more than any other player in this Man United squad. He's a player that's carried United in the past. He's a player that has improved. I think a good comment here from Naga saying Bruno needs rest. He looks tired. He looks overplayed. There's not many rotation options for him. My biggest thing with Bruno is not... He does silly things. He gives a ball away. But as a whole, Rob, his game has improved, I think, tenfold. He's a better player than he was even when he was scoring all those goals and assists under Oli. My biggest frustration actually with Bruno is more like the kind of the petulance or the consistent yapping at the referee. That's actually what annoys me more than his performances. I think he's a very, very good player. I actually do think he's up there with the best number 10s in the league. And I do think you're a bit harsh on him. I'm going to be honest with you. I just think that you single him out maybe more than other players. I think maybe because you have a higher standard of him that you expect. He's the captain. I get that as well. But I do think that when things are going badly, you immediately do go for Bruno. And for me personally, I think that the whole team was poor today from back to front.
Your captain
Harry Maguire came aside. Was actually pretty good defensively. Made a mistake. Nearly got, obviously got caught by Harrison. But on the ball, Rob, he was awful at the back. And he put United under pressure consistently. Until Martinez came in, you got someone like David De Gea, who's another senior player, again, poor out from the back. And that's actually where United's problems were, rather than, I think, in the final third. It's the fact that they couldn't build from the back and consistently putting themselves under pressure. So while Bruno can be frustrating, and it's good to disagree because I think a lot of times we agree on things, but I think that Bruno Fernandes is always under a microscope. He's always the one that gets blamed for everything. And actually, Fred was poor today. I know he got man of the match. Sabitzer struggled a little bit. As a number 10, you can kind of only do your function. If the players behind you aren't giving you the ball in the right areas, then it's very, very difficult to play your game.
And totally, I think if that's the thing, if it's down to getting the ball in the wrong areas or players playing you in badly or all of those things, Haydar, I'm totally with it. I agree with what you're saying. I do think Bruno Fernandes is a really good player, but I do think that we talk about standards and how we hold players to certain standards. Bruno Fernandes is part of an elite crop at Manchester United who has to hit that 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 every week. Because if you don't have an 8 out of 10 Bruno, you don't win football matches. That's how important he is. So when I look at this here and I mention Bruno and I'm bothered because the ball's bouncing off his shin for the 12th time in 12 weeks, you've got to be more kind of succinct about what you expect of these players. Now, Bruno's numbers are great. We've said this. You just said you think he's technically better than he was when he came to the football club. I disagree with that totally. I think when Bruno came to the club for the first year, he was technically brilliant, scored goals, ran everything, was absolutely the kind of talisman of the team and kept United in that kind of title, towards the top end of the title race, even though we were 15, 20 points off it. But he was the guy who came in, fixed stuff for United. Now, what I would say is, I think that Bruno as a whole, he still obviously has great use. He really is. You said like he's one of the best number 10s in the league. I think that's true. I don't think that he's technically as good on the ball as someone like James Maddison. And he should be. He's as good as James Maddison. I don't think he's technically as good on the ball as Christian Eriksen at number 10. Christian Eriksen's out the team, but he should be. So I think this is why when I get on the Bruno's back thing and people go, oh, you don't like Bruno. I love Bruno. I think he's brilliant. But it's exactly what we were saying about Marcus last year. When Marcus isn't good last year, it's not because we don't like Marcus Rashford, because Marcus isn't cutting it. This year, guess what? Marcus is cutting it, so we're not mentioning him. So Bruno's still helping you do those things, but I don't think it's a good look that Weghorst drops into number 10 and does it better than Fernandes. That's not a good look, Haydar, when you're supposed to be one of the best number 10s in the league. So this is the thing with it. You said about Maguire, and I think we should address it. The ball out from the back today was poor. And I think that when the ball goes into midfield, then your midfielders have to then sort it out. No matter what they get, they've got to go, this is slim pickings, but we're going to make sure that we bring in the forwards, that we link the play and we do it really well. We slow the game down from midfield, not from the back, but from midfield. This is the issue with Fernandes and with Fred, is that they are just like mad. They run around like nutters. They don't go, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, put my foot on the ball and play a simple ball to Jadon Sancho. I don't have to play the Hollywood pass. So you just said that Fred was bad. Fred won man of the match. I think Fred, for the last half an hour, was excellent. First whole hour of the game, shocking, awful, terrible. Just like, again, running around, losing the ball, slipping over, just like not helping his helping people and helping the opponent more than the United team. So that midfield question is a problem. You could say that Fred and Bruno have got the excuse of that there is no Casemiro, but Haidar, you can't have that excuse. You're too senior. You two boys have got to do better. That means just trapping the ball and moving it on nicely. Do all the rest of the stuff that you like to do, but the standard has to be higher, Haidar. We're not living in the past Man United times. You know what I thought of the first of this game today was it felt very Solskjaer for the first hour, didn't it? Yeah, lots of just ill discipline and Leeds outworking you, and it felt like you could lose this one. But Ten Hag got it right. The boys got it right. You won the game 2-0. It's a good result.
Just on that Casemiro, look, there's some really great comments. I'm just going to summarize like kind of the view in the comments. There's a lot of people that don't think Bruno Fernandes long term is the answer at number 10. There's a lot of people who say that obviously he's key to the side, and there's a good comment here saying, from Naga, kind of saying that he thinks Bruno's more adaptable than he's been given credit for.
Yeah,
with Casemiro behind him, we can get the results we need. I think we have to touch on Casemiro, Rob, because we've seen in the last two games, we obviously didn't cover the midweek game against Leeds. Quick turnaround, playing them again this week. And I think I said this to my housemate's an Arsenal fan. So I'm enjoying seeing Arsenal drop points over the last two games. But something very interesting that we're having this discussion, he asked me, what do I think is going to happen? I said, one thing about Ten Hag is he always learns. So he'll play a game, United will be poor. And then in the reverse fixture, United have, he's worked it out. So I had that view today that was going to happen. But I feel like when I was looking at selection and when I was looking at someone like Bruno Fernandes, and let's talk about Fred because that is at midfield. Unfortunately, this is the situation that Casemiro is so good and so pivotal to this side, whether it's the back four, whether it's the forward players, that if you take a player of his quality out, experience, his ability to read the game, his ability to also start attacks, turn from defense to attack, to link that play, doesn't matter if you're Bruno Fernandes or Kevin De Bruyne. If you don't have that player in there, then you're going to struggle as a team. And I think that's actually the overarching lesson I think we're learning from these games without Casemiro, is that United, one, they're super reliant on him. And two, they probably need to find someone. You're never going to find Casemiro 2.0, but find someone that can slot in when Casemiro can't play or is suspended or injured or whatever. I think that's the biggest thing. So while we sit here and criticize Fred, maybe criticize Bruno, criticize other players, the back four, the fact of the matter is that you have the best defensive midfielder, or let's say the number six, because he does everything now, out of the team. And the defenders looked worse. Varane and Martinez didn't look as good midweek. And also the forwards look worse. There's not that foundation. So I think that's actually the lesson, rather than this player's good, that player's bad, blah, blah, blah. That's what I actually think it is. I simply think, you put Casemiro into his side, Sabitzer level goes up. We see what he can do going forward. Yeah. We've seen what Fred's like with Casemiro there. I think Maguire and Shaw would, well, Shaw played well. Maguire would look a lot more assured. And I actually think defensively Maguire wasn't too bad. It's just his passing was poor today. The fullbacks look better. Dallow will look better as well with a bit more security. And I think United go and win this game much more comfortably. I think they win midweek. I honestly think that is actually what it is. I know we talk about all the tactics here, but Ten Hag doesn't have that cement between the bricks, as he calls Casemiro. And I think that's the issue. Casemiro comes back and decides, I feel we can beat Barcelona. I'm that confident.
Yeah, look, you're preaching to the congregation here, Haidar. Everyone agrees with that. I don't think anyone would say that Man United are not better with Casemiro in the team. Like, we are. We know that. He is probably the best number six in the world. But I don't think that, as I was calling it, like trapping a bag of cement in midfield, has got a lot to do just with Casemiro. So when we're talking about Bruno, when we talk about Fred, and we're talking about, I tweeted this at halftime, and I worded it a very specific way because I did want to talk about it in the show. It's about the nuances in your game. Yeah, it's not just about the hard work, the running, the miles, the combativeness. It's about that when the ball comes to you, Haidar, that you just put the ball 2 inches in front of you, you keep control, and your head's on a swivel, and you make the right pass. Now, if you make the wrong pass, that ain't because Casemiro ain't there. That's on you. So this is the thing. I think when you look at the team, I saw in there as well in the comments, someone mentioned Antony. I think we're seeing how much worse Man United are without Anthony.
Yeah.
Why? Because Anthony does the work off the ball and gets you going in the right way. So I thought Jaden played well for the 60 minutes today. You can see that he's energized and he's kind of learning the ropes a little bit, the Ten Hag style, what's expected. Lots of running, lots of good intent. Didn't give you a ton of production, but as we said, the team didn't play well for that first half, for that first hour. And I think that was everyone. So, you know, that's not trying to pick out individuals. That is a team thing. But I think you can kind of see that the new signings that are not in the team this moment, so everyone bar Malacia, I guess you could say, how important they are to Man United playing consistently. And that is the word, the C word, consistently. Because this is what I'm moaning about when I talk about Bruno. It's not that killer ball that Bruno plays. And when he plays it, you get that brilliant pass. You go, what a brilliant pass from Bruno. I'm talking about the simple stuff, Haydar, that you must be better at. So Fred and Bruno can moan until they're blue in the face that Casemiro isn't in the team. And it's tough because I don't think Sabitzer's playing badly. I just think Sabitzer's come in and gone, don't quite know the team yet. I don't know what to do, but I'm learning on the fly. Yeah, there's no Casemiro. These players have got to be better on the ball, Haydar. In the same way that Marcus is. Marcus is better on the ball, isn't he? In a completely new way. Like, you can see, that's why when he does that and points there, it feels like he's worked out the Rubik's Cube. And it's like, I know what my job is now. And when I'm in the box, do you know what I mean? I'm going to head it at the top corner and that's that. He, even before he went off, had that shot, didn't he? Which was just offside. What did he do? Buried it in the bottom corner. Last year, Marcus Rashford puts that into row Z. So
he's a killer this year, Rob. Like, so absolute killer.
He's a killer this year, Haydar, and I want the other 10 players to be killers. So this is the standard. So it's all, I think it's where, like, we do at Manchester United, we have done for a while, we nitpick or we look at players and we kind of work around them. You said there about Wan-Bissaka as well at the start. Wan-Bissaka, I'd have preferred to have seen start today, but he's been ill. So then you could look at that. We don't know how ill he was. He came on later in the game. I think he probably is the starter when he's fit now, just because he's not better than Dalot at the top end of the pitch. Dalot obviously provided an assist, didn't he, the other day from the top end. So you see what you get from him there. But there's definitely a kind of more rounded balance when certain players are doing certain roles. Bruno Fernandes, just to end on the Bruno bit. Bruno's our number 10. I don't know whether this time next year Bruno Fernandes will be a number 10. I don't know, because I think that you could probably go and get a better number 10 functionally to do that role. Bruno, to me, this year, and we've said that it's not his position, he's looked best this season from the right. I don't know why, but when he's on the right, he's got more space and room, yeah, and he can actually read the game a bit more. When he's through the middle, he does not link well with whoever the striker is, whether it had been Ronaldo 6 months ago, 3 months ago, Weghorst, I think, you know.
No, Martial, not, you can argue not with Martial.
Him good with Martial. Yeah. Good with Martial, but small window of opportunity there with Martial because of the injuries. And I think, again, one of the comments said it here, but I did just say it a minute ago, it's not a great look that Weghorst dropped to 10 and looked better than you. It just isn't a good look, not against Leeds. So I thought today also, Haydar, our leaders, I always expect more of the leaders. So the people in the team who are supposedly the captains, you know, even whether wear the armband or not, you need a little bit more. I thought Leeds bullied us for 60 minutes. And that's because your leadership function isn't quite working because you're not being disciplined with the ball on the deck and maybe with each other. But the good thing is that you did work it out. You won 2-0. So I'm not going to go too mad about it when you actually got the 3 points. As I said, 4 points from six from this derby match, these two derby fixtures. It's all right. You'll take it.
Absolutely. Rob, just to touch on Sancho, there's a couple of comments here. You know, people saying he's a little underwhelming on the wings. You know, maybe he's looking soft out wide. I mean, I must have been seeing a different game. Look, he changed the game midweek. I think he looks stronger. He's definitely bulked out a bit. I think he looks quicker as well. He's got a little bit of turn of pace.
He needs minutes,
yeah. Like, he's been out for 3 months, but yeah. He changed the game. Look, I think if I was to pick my starting front three when everyone's fit, it would be Jaden on the left. It would be Marcus through the middle, and it'd be Anthony on the right. I think that's got nice balance. I think that's got some guile. I'd like to see Marcus playing a bit more centrally now, just because I think that he's really developing that killer instinct in his game. His movement's fantastic in the box. He's starting to add headed goals. I mean, his headed goal is unbelievable. Mm. This one today, he got one again midweek against Leeds. I mean, it's an area of his game he's just gone shot through the roof. And you probably have to turn around and say, you know, Benny McCarthy coming in. We haven't touched on that at all in the podcast, but you know, him coming in, it looks like he has had an impact on Marcus's game. But what I do want to say about Jaden is that, like, I think you heard Ten Hag speak about him midweek, about how, you know, he's a fantastic footballer, and there's so many levels for Jaden to go up. I think we just got to be a bit patient. He's almost had preseason and then just come in.
Preseason. This is like these games are coming back now.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's almost like he started preseason. So I really do think that something I will comment on, and look, we're all guilty of it. We can be impatient, but this past week, we'll touch on it when we talk about Garnacho's impact. But this past week, I feel like United have been on such a high and been winning games after games after games, back to kind of, you know, back in the day. And I feel like one poor performance or player doesn't play so well, and everyone is just attacking players, or not everyone, but there's a there's like a very horrible sort of like air of negativity that's going around the club. And I just think that players are going to have good games and bad games. Man United have won 13 in a row at Old Trafford. We're going to drop points, like, or we're going to have performances that are not good. Just the fact that the squad isn't as deep as we want it. We're in all four competitions. So I just think that, you know, if Sancho has maybe a bit of an off game, Garnacho last week missed two big chances that he should have scored, you know, got to cut the players a little bit of slack is all I'm saying. And I think that, you know, because United have been playing at a level which we haven't seen for a long time, we're expecting wins. If we drop points, like, and every team will, Arsenal have just dropped 5 points, haven't they, in the last two games against Everton and against Brentford. Yeah. So, yeah, I just think that just give players time. It's a new system, new manager. Ten Hag hasn't even had a year in charge. And that's why I'm not so... There are certain players that I think, you know, their time is up at the club. But I just think that there's some players, you know, that have been out, like, say, like Sancho, do need a little bit of time, because he's absolutely top drawer. And I have no doubt that, you know, if he shows any of his potential, he'd be in that starting lineup.
Fans can have standards and say, this is the standard I want players to go to. But I think then you have to also have some kind of understanding and just chill out a little bit. So, like with Jadon Sancho, I agree with you on that. I think you just need to give him time. He needs minutes, and you need to let him get back into this. I think as it stands today, like, you just kind of read out your front three. I think if everyone was fit and that, you know, every Man United player was had been in the team and had shown what they can do this season, it dictates that Marcus plays on the left because Marcus scored all his goals from the left. So you can't really put Jaden there ahead of him. I'd say Antony on the right-hand side, people might be underwhelmed by him, but I think his work dictates that he's a starter on the right. I think up top, the best striker this season by a really, really, really long way is Anthony Martial. The problem is he just can't stay fit. So if he was fit, I think that is your front three. And I would still then say Bruno at 10, though I still think that that is debatable. I would like to see maybe Eriksen dropped in it at some point in the future when he's back and fit. I think that that might be a better fit for those other front three. So I think that's your best four as it stands, but it doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? It's because you've got injuries and you have to change things around. So players have to adapt. One of the things that Ten Hag said the other day, and he has said it before, it's about you give the players instructions, and when those instructions are new, you kind of know they're not going to get it all right. You know, they're going to get some of it right, or maybe the bits of it they like right. And then there's always going to be bits of it that they don't like and they don't get right. So you've got to find a way. So you've got to, so you look at the team today. We know the two midfielders that are not in the team. Then there's decided choices at the back where you put Varane on the bench. I kind of understand that, but I don't really understand the Martinez bit. And then I think the Luke Shaw question of him playing either at left back or left centre back comes down to this conundrum. Are you better with Luke Shaw at left back? By miles. So that answers the question for me. Luke Shaw plays left back, and that's what you've got to do. You've got to find another alternative there to Martinez if you don't like the others. Do you get what I mean? So he plays there because he's got a left foot. So eventually you might have to go out and buy a centre back, say as a reserve, who's got a left foot that can do that. Luke Shaw can come inside. I don't think he was bad today at all. But you could see how fragmented that back four was. It just did not work, Haydar. So again, going forward, I think everyone's got their own little mandates to kind of work through for the rest of the season. And everyone's got their own standards to go through. Jadon Sancho also. But I think Jadon will get there. But for me, he's not an automatic starter yet. But I'd rather see him start moments and minutes where you saw Garnacho being the guy from the bench. Why? Because Garnacho is absolutely mustard coming off the bench. Gives you pace, gives you attack, gives you tempo. That was the big change, Haydar, in the game. Man United for an hour had no tempo.
Rob, let's go into that.
And then
now
we had tempo afterwards.
Let's go into Garnacho, because I completely agree. And before we do that, let's talk about midweek, because midweek, he started, Ten Hag started on the left. And Had two really big chances that he should have scored. Didn't have a great game. You know, obviously, then United dropped points. Came from 2-0 down. I think that's probably overlooked as well. United were shocking sort of in the first 10 minutes of each half, conceding goals. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, at home against Leeds, you know, they did really well. And in the end, I mean, we probably should have won the game, really, shouldn't we? If you think about the amount of chances United created. Mm-hmm. And then we saw Garnacho get so much abuse. And I'm not going to name names, but, you know, some of the stuff has just been ridiculous. And a lot of stuff gets said, you know, just to get clicks and things like that. We do know that. But I think it has to be addressed that this kid is 18, 19. Yeah, we know they're idiots. But unfortunately, Rob, you know, like, people do things for clicks. But the abuse is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we don't do this on the show. And a lot of us other shows don't do this. But what I will say about him, young kid, 18, 19 years old, has come into this. The side, he has made himself a regular in the squad at the young age of 18-19. He is direct, as you mentioned, you know, as you can see here, progressive carries. And this is comparing to players. When I had a look on FBref before we went on the show, he was getting compared to the likes of Bukayo Saka, those sort of players. These are sort of similar players that he was compared against. One of the biggest things that I've been impressed with him is the confidence. He's not phased, but you're right, off the bench he is, like you said, he's an absolute killer. He comes on, he attacks the fullback. He's creative. He's got good composure. I think he's got around 3 or 4 goals and 5 or 6 assists, which is a fantastic return. That's nearly 10 goals and assists for a young player in his first breakout season. Mm-hmm. When you have a look at his statistics here on the right hand side, this is for the season. So you look at his non-penalty goals. He's in the 74th percentile across Europe, which is very, very good. Total shots as well, 82nd percentile. Assists, 88th percentile. And then the ones that I like here is progressive carries. I mean, that's per 90. That's nearly 6 progressive carries per 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. That is huge when you're looking to change a game like we did today, or you're looking to kill an opponent off. Let's say United have been 1-0 or 1-0 up many, many times. Garnacho coming on and just going very direct into the box, taking on the opposition fullback is really, really difficult. And he's created a lot of opportunity. He came on in the City game. We got the Marcus goal as well. I just think he's been a really, really lovely addition to the squad this year. I really like him. I think he's a very, very good player. I'm always conscious as well that we don't want to hype up our young players too much, but people need to lay off him because he is a kid.
Hype him up. Yeah. Hype him up, but just be like a realist. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a boy. He's a kid, isn't he? So, like, you're right. These metrics are great, and the metrics do show that his passing game isn't particularly good. He gets assists. He loves to run with the ball. He does all of that really nice left wing stuff that you want left wingers to do. He don't particularly do the inside game very well. And we've seen that. I think not just the stats, but we actually see that he is prone to give the ball away, make bad decisions. Do you know why? Because he's a boy. Calm down. So this is the whole thing. You're right what you say there about him, about giving him time as well, because I think that's the key here. Is that, yeah, hype him up, big him up. He's a great, great player. Anyone in the world, any team, would love a Garnacho coming off their bench. We are very, very lucky. But I think we also then got to taper expectations, because I think if you start with Garnacho, then you're kind of losing the impact for him. You really are. He's going to get marked heavier. He's going to have to pass the ball more inside, do more interior work. You don't really want that from him. I think that's why you have Jadon Sancho. Jadon Sancho, much more adept at passing the ball, interior work, passing it inside, and still getting you goals and assists. But the difference is an explosion. Garnacho is a kind of old school left winger who wants to just run at people for fun. So I think today you saw exactly why Garnacho is of use to Manchester United and why he's so good, because he came off the bench and he completely ripped that left side to shreds. But with one main point, Luke Shaw backing him up. That wouldn't have worked in Malasia. It wouldn't have. Like, I don't want to have a go at Malasia because, again, Malasia is young, come to the club, et cetera, we can kind of go over the same tropes over and over again of what we say about players coming to the football club. But he's not quite at the standard that you need to help the winger. And that's what Luke Shaw is. Luke Shaw is a machine backwards and forwards in that side and really, really helps out there, overlapping, allows him to dribble inside. So that's where you said earlier on that Ten Hag gets things right. Eventually, Ten Hag works it out and goes, these are my combinations. Ah, now 70 minutes in, this is the combination I need to try and unlock this game and to win it. And United kind of won it comfortably in the end, like 2-0, when it should have been probably 3-0 or even more. It's not a bad result, is it? When I think for the first hour, you were kind of at sixes and sevens. Garnacho is going to be just fine. Give the boy a new contract. Keep him at the football club. Let him grow. Give him time. And just be patient, because I think by the time he's 21, he could be one of the best forwards in the world in any position, whether it be left, right, or through the middle. I think he's got a future through the middle as well. We saw him when he was a kid at Atletico Madrid, when he was like a boy, and he could score goals like a striker. His goal today, striker's finish, Haydar, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think very, very good finish. My biggest thing, I think, Rob, with Garnacho is that I think there's clearly a willingness when he comes on to make an impact. He wants to make an impact. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
When he starts, he's so desperate to make something happen. And you're right. You're absolutely spot on to pick out his passing. Like, his pass attempted isn't great, 18th percentile. His completion is okay, but his progressive pass as well. So he's so intent on making something happen that sometimes you, as a wide player, you need a little bit of a wide, maybe a wiser head. I think Anthony actually does this well. I know Anthony, a lot of the United fans don't think he's lived up to expectations. But what Anthony does well is that I think his retention's good. You know, he will hold the ball out. He'll be able to bring others into the game. What he doesn't give the ball away a lot. I think one of the frustrations with him is that, you know, obviously he can be very one-footed. Sometimes his end product isn't great. What he's really good at is when he gets the ball, when United's trying to find an opening, when they're recycling possession, going from left to right, trying to find a little bit of space. What Anthony does really well, he has the ball, plays back inside, maybe holds onto it, brings Wan-Bissaka into it, or Diallo, whoever it is. I think what Garnacho will learn and needs to learn in time is that element of the game. I think he's so, so keen on impressing and making his mark and really, really, you know, really wowing Eric Ten Hag that sometimes you see he gives the ball away, he's a bit rash. And I think that's the thing. So I agree with you, by the way, with the striker's finish. He could play more centrally. I think United have got a seriously good talent here. And Ten Hag doesn't play youth players just like that, just because they're young. You have to earn your spot. And the fact that he is playing this many minutes and he's contributed and won games to Man United, I'd go back to the Fulham game before the World Cup. Like, I'm delighted we have a player like this at the squad, in our squad and at the club, that can grow and develop. And I think Ten Hag knows what talent he does have on his hand.
Yeah, look, Garnacho in many ways is just a left-sided Anthony. Like, he really is. Like, but the difference is, I think Garnacho's got more of a kind of nose for goal, definitely. Kind of knows where the lane is to get into the lane to get a decent shot off. Anthony on the other end likes to just cut inside, swing the ball in the top corner, which he can do himself. Just look at one of the metrics here. This is why this year, and the manager again did say this a few weeks ago about why he didn't buy another player in the wide areas, talking about Cody Gakpo. So the reason why he stuck with Garnacho, just have a look at the interceptions. So the interceptions there, he's in the 95th percentile. So I'm going to do kind of my own quasi way with my fingers again, like I used to with double pivot when we used to talk about it. Talk about the wider players. What do the wider players do now? So the wider players go up and down, don't they? Yes, we know that. But wide players now have to invert to a point where they can read the interception. If you come inside, you cut that ball out from the centre-back to the left wing or even to the forward. It depends where you're standing. Now, that's trained. That's a tactic. That's something they practice every day of the week. What you're seeing here with Garnacho with those metrics is that he knows how to do that really well. He's good at it. So it doesn't matter about tackles or pressing. You just need to be able to kill the lane. Don't let that pass come through. And he's up there with the metrics or interceptions and blocks. So I think this is what you see from Garnacho and why he's been so successful so young, is that, yeah, he's got a lot to learn, but he kind of is doing what Anthony's doing on the other side, and that gives you symmetry on the left and the right. This is what Jadon Sancho has got to deal with now. Jadon's got to start producing these kind of metrics, which I think he can, but it's a different kind of game for him because he is a ball player. He's a cage footballer. He wants to kind of dribble in tight spaces. Man United have got to learn that playing football in tight spaces loses you football matches. The end. Be expansive, be quick, play in transition, play the counter press. Then you can get the ball and you can go quickly. Jadon can do that. There's no doubt that Alessandro can do that. Anthony can do that. That's why I like the blend and the mix. And Marcus has shown that he can do it. Marcus is like, I can play left wing, but I can be a number nine as well at the same time, same day. Doesn't matter. I'll come in the middle, I'll score a header, and I'll play from the left. United have got a really good mix of forwards there. Yes, you're probably going to go and buy number nine in the summer. I think that's a given because more to do with Martial's injury record. But I think the attack itself has definitely got better post-World Cup for me. There's more balance there. And I want to see Bruno Fernandes in the attack not really the midfield. Get Bruno higher up the pitch. Don't get Bruno coming backwards. That's where Bruno Fernandes has problems.
Listen, United have now got a lot of options. A lot of players have emerged. Garnacho's emergence has been great.
Yeah.
We know with Marcus Rashford, what a great season. 21 goals this season so far. I mean, he's the most informed player in Europe right now. Absolute joy to watch. Really, really enjoying watching this evolution under Ten Hag. Martial, when he's fit, Rob, United play better when Anthony Martial plays. So win rate is better. It's just the way it is. He's frustrating. Unfortunately, with his injury record, United will get a number 9. It's interesting to see what happens with him, whether he stays or not. Anthony on that right-hand side. But even Pulisic, Rob, has emerged. He's starting to get minutes again.
Totally.
He's worked his way in. I really like what I see from Pulisic. I think his ball control is very, very good. He's clearly got something about him. We saw that he contributed to that goal midweek where he came on. Him and Sancho changed the game for United. Again, mm-hmm. Ten Hag making the right substitutions and changing the game. Something that he's done well is in-game management. Ten Hag has been impressive this year. What I like about Pulisic, though, is that you could maybe even play number 10. So there's versatility. You know, there's players that can play across the front three. And they all offer something different. You mentioned Jadon Sancho. I think Garnacho's so direct. He'll take on his man. He offers you that pace. But what we saw from Sancho's goal, and we saw, midweek, the one against Leeds, where he had the little turn of pace. I have not seen from Jadon once since he's joined the club. I haven't seen a bit of explosiveness to him. So I think it's interesting to see Ten Hag, obviously, whatever they did in the training, get him fit, get his mind right as well, fix whatever's going on, give him some time to out of the limelight. But I also think Jadon Sancho looks a little bit more explosive. So it's interesting to see, what kind of role he will play in the side. So United have options, basically, is what I'm saying.
They've got options, and I think that's the most important thing. And if you need to go to the transfer market to help fix some of them, then that's okay as well, isn't it? In mid-season, where we are now and kind of in this faux title race, we're not really in it, but we're kind of near it. So, we can take heart from that. I think what you're seeing there, Haydar, now, and we're talking about the team, is that Arsenal, City to an extent as well, Newcastle and ourselves are all showing the same signs of wear. All of us. So we've all got decent squads, not got superior depth. Maybe City can say they have, but certainly I think all the other teams have got decent depth, but not fantastic depth. And when you need to go to it and change it, you haven't always got the same quality. So for Man United, in ourselves and looking within ourselves, that's what needs to be fixed now in the next, say, 6 months to a year. But you've got good options already. Like, if we can somehow magically fix Anthony Martial, I'm not saying we can, but if you can fix him and say he has a run of games towards the end of the season and does really well, my manager might be thinking, well, do you know what? I'm just going to stick with Big Vout, keep Vout in my team with this in the rotation. I'm going to sign him. And that 100 million on a striker is actually going to go on 100 million midfielder because we can't keep the ball in the middle of the park, or 100 million pound number 10 or 100 million pound number 8. So they're also problem positions for Ten Hag. But I think at the moment he's managing it really well, stage managing it without having too many problems with the results. Good result today. And I think, again, that came from changing maybe a poor selection and turning it into a winning one.
Guys, a lot of you in the chat today watching this, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Let's get this pushed on the algorithm as well. Rob, let's have a look now at the final segment of the show. We'll talk about Fred, because I thought midweek Fred was awful, to be honest, in the 2-2 draw. What can I say about Fred? I really enjoyed seeing his improvement this season. I've enjoyed seeing him further forward, adding goals to his game. He's improved his game tenfold. All of that has come, though, with Casemiro behind him. And you see why he was getting selected for Brazil with Casemiro in midfield. What have we seen in the last two games? We've seen Fred perhaps asked to do things that we know he's not good at. Play with your back to goal.
Yeah.
Try and obviously build in that first phase of the pitch. Play under pressure from the press or the opposition. But he got the man of the match today after a poor, let's say, first, 60 minutes or so. He definitely stepped up again, and he had a good game. What are your general thoughts on Fred, though? I mean, look, he hasn't got a new contract yet, and there has been conversations around it. He's not going to start for Man United if Ten Hag wants to win titles. He's just not the profile of midfielder that's going to allow, in the number 8 position, that's going to allow United to go and win the biggest trophies. He has his use in the squad. I'm a big fan of Fred. I like him. But I also see his limitations as a player. United do need better. Should Casemiro come back? Obviously, he's in the side. Like, I would be still putting Fred on the bench. Almost a bit like Garnacho. When he comes off the bench, he has a really good impact. He presses really well. He's busy. He's someone that can break up play. He's got an eye. He's starting to get more of an eye for goal, make some good runs into the box. So, you know, what can I say about him? Limited player. Does some things very, very well. But there's a ceiling to his let's say, his ability maybe or potential. Mm. And when Casemiro's there, he looks like a Brazilian. Casemiro's not there. He looks like the Fred of old. So I think, look, we know what he is and we can't expect him to do things he can't do. Much like McTominay, to be honest. But today, look, he did improve as the game went on. And look, he was man of the match.
He helped United get control in that last half an hour, and that was vital because that's it. You know, when it's 0-0 up to the hour mark and you've not played well, you've got half an hour to fix it and go and win it. I think we look at Fred, like you just said that you're a fan of Fred. I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of Fred. I don't think he's good enough. I think it's just as bottom dollar as that. I've never seen anything in his game in all the years he's been at Man United that makes me think that there's an upside. I compare him in some ways to Aaron Wan-Bissaka, in the sense that Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I think, is blessed with certain skills, but hasn't been able to put it in the full package. And we've not seen that until very, very recently. We're seeing the first shoots of recovery. Fred plays with Casemiro. Casemiro plays the six. Fred plays the eight. I still don't think as an eight, Fred is great. Like today, he had an expected XG there from the number eight of 0.03. That's not good enough for number eight. Sorry. You've got to be in the box sometime at some point in the game and you'd have a bigger XG than that. You would help the forwards. He doesn't really help the forward play. He runs around a lot, Haidar. He's combative. He can fight, but he's actually not technical enough to be a six. And that's a problem. So you would probably prefer his skill set as a number six because he's not really a ball player, really. Not really, just kind of likes to fight, doesn't he? Likes to run around. And he did that in the last half an hour. I think he was combative. He got the ball off Leeds and he got the ball moving in the correct direction. You actually look at his stats for the game. You know, passing accuracy was okay for him today. Like 84% is pretty good for Fred. But I don't think his rounded game is going to help you going forward. He's fine as a sub. Have him on your bench. I actually think that in this kind of functionality, the way United are playing at the moment, that McTominay's a better number eight than he is. McTominay is much more box-to-box orientated. Not saying he's technically better, but he's much more box-to-box
orientated. They're both not great, to be honest.
Neither are great. And see, Haydon, I'm not playing a game of which one's better. I'm saying in that role, like of being box-to-box, when that XG is 0.03, who's better is kind of getting towards the edge of the box and getting shots off, maybe getting headers off like from crosses. It's not Fred. So I think the thing is with Fred, it's about he's kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none. And he is absolutely the wrong choice to replace someone like Christian Eriksen. So Christian Eriksen's not a devout number eight. He really isn't. But Fred is a kind of mishmash of a midfielder. He won Man of the Match today. You know, good luck to him. I'm sure he's happy with that bottle of bubbly for his Man of the Match display. But I do think it's one of the big reasons why in the first game against Leeds that you nearly lost that game. Him and Bruno do not work well as a tandem, as a 10 and an 8. It's a bad tandem. And today, I think most of the time when Bruno was the 10 and he was the 8, it was only really till Bruno got out the way of the 10 and put Weghorst there that Fred played okay after that. The tandem worked. So I think, again, credit to the manager more than the player. I think the manager worked that out to get the most out of the player that day. Yes, Casemiro makes everyone better. It's a boring narrative. Like, yes, he does. But I think with Fred, that's a position you're going to have to buy for. You need another number eight. Yeah, you need to either go and get Frankie de Jong or Frankie de Jong's best mate, whoever he might be. Someone who can do those things, put the ball on the deck, play progressive football, dribble with the ball a little bit, be accurate and be able to trap the ball. Fred does none of those things successfully every week.
Listen, yeah, look, I'm still on the Frankie de Jong train. If United can go and get Frankie de Jong, he'd be the perfect midfielder for Ten Hag.
Or just someone like Frankie.
Someone with that profile. But do you know who I'm really impressed with, Rob? He's not my United player, but Enzo Fernandez. I've seen obviously he had a great World Cup. Yeah. I don't think he's worth 120 million. But watching him at Chelsea, you can just see the quality of midfield. And that's the quality of midfield that United need to go and get in summer.
He's only played 2 minutes at Chelsea. Let's calm it down a little bit. Like, let's see what he does in the next 6 months.
I think he's a really good player. Top player? I think he's a top player.
Look, I think he's a really good player. I don't think he's anywhere near 120 million.
No, he's not.
He was 15 million a year ago. So I think he's developed massively. And I think he was absolutely the young player of the World Cup. He showed that. Is he now already in elite class midfielders? For me, the answer to that is absolutely not. Chelsea are making a big gamble here, and that gamble might pay off. Like, in a year's time, we might be going, he's the best number six in the world now. Like, him and Casemiro are best number sixes and can help you. I think at his age, playing six successfully is difficult.
He should play as an eight.
Yeah, well, you say that, but he's only ever played as a six. He's not really a great number eight. I think when he goes to number eight, he starts to struggle a little bit in and around the box area. So this is what we say about defining roles in the modern game and about what sixes do and what eights do, is that they're both midfielders. It's like night and day. It's two different roles, two different things. The responsibilities are different, but you're both expected to keep to be able to trap a ball, pass a ball, progress a ball, and press. So if you can do all those things, you'll be okay. Frenkie de Jong can do most of those things. But I think when you need a number eight going forward for Man United, that might be where you make the big investment. That might be where you spend the 100 million next year. You might go, do you know what? Yeah, we'd like a striker, but we're going to go for a punt as a striker.
Rob, you'd hope with new owners, whoever they're going to be, we're not going to go into that topic as well, because that's another topic that's going to light up a...
Well, you can read my Twitter for the topic.
Yeah, if you want to know Rob's view, you can read his Twitter. But I don't want to really address that or certain other things on this podcast, because we want to talk about tactics. Yeah. But, you know, should United have new owners, they should probably be targeting both, to be honest. I know we'd love to spend the money, but United aren't far away, Rob. Like, the tactical foundations are there. Ten Hag has done a phenomenal job with what he's got, and he's bought really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sabitzer, who I'm excited to see him unleashed a bit more, because I think, you know, he's a number eight. He's done really well, considering these are two hard games. This against Leeds. I mean, look, it's a derby. It's scrappy. It's physical.
He's playing number six.
But I really do think, let's actually touch on sort of midweek. United do go to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. A fixture that should be in the Champions League. I'm really excited for it, actually, to be honest. It's a game which I think Barcelona are having a great season. They're top of the La Liga. I was really surprised to see that, to be honest with you, that how well Barcelona are doing under Xavi. When we're looking at that, Casemiro should be back for that. No, Lisandro Martinez. How would you be looking to set up? Do you think the fact Luke Shaw plays centre-back today was an indication that we could see him play centre-back with, let's say, Varane and Malacia play on 100%. The left-hand side? I think 100%. That's what it was. I was thinking that.
Obviously, that's what it
Martinez
was.
Is huge. Because, Rob, when Martinez came on today, I mean, he is a phenomenal footballer, one of our best signings that we've made in a very, very long time. But when he came on, United calmed down a little bit. You know, he's a leader at the back. He's a great passer of the ball. He's almost that general at the back. But having a look at United's game against Barcelona, and then with the Leicester game on the weekend, because I still think the league is the most important thing. United are in a cup final. I'd love to win everything that we can, and I think that's how we should aim for it. But cementing this Champions League spot is very, very important. And then almost waiting to see what happens between City and Arsenal. But City and Arsenal are going to play midweek. Mm-hmm. If they both take points off each other, or they go and draw, and United go and win their game, suddenly we're in a title race. I'm just going to say that. So we've got to keep our eye on that game. Leicester have gone and scored 8 goals in the last 2 games. They spanked Spurs. They came back against Villa and spanked them as well, 4-2. So it's not going to be an easy game. So how do you think Ten Hag's going to set up for this? Because the squad is thin, to be honest.
Yeah, it's thin because you've got injuries and you've had problems and whatnot. But I do think that today was a little bit of stage management in terms of, let's see what Luke Shaw looks like with this partner, because I've not seen it. I want to see it. But Luke Shaw is almost definitely going to be the starter at left centre-back for that game. No doubt, because I think if you haven't got Martinez there, the manager has made it pretty clear that he does not really like Lindelof or Maguire playing left centre-back, because they're right-footed footballers. He's not into it. So I think we'll see Luke Shaw there. And I think we'll probably see Malacia playing that side. And I think we'll probably see Wan-Bissaka coming back into the team playing there, just also for his defensive capabilities against maybe some of the width that Barcelona can hit you with. I think it's a difficult one, Haider. Like, you're right. I think we should try and win everything. You should always think like that. That's the way it needs to be. We're just not in a luxurious point of time where rotations can be natural. Yeah, so Man City can go, oh, De Bruyne's not playing well, stick him on the bench. Let's give someone else a go, because they've got loads of depth. We just do not have that depth. We have players, but those players are just not as good. So that will be a thing in the summer to address when you're building. Like we just said there about, you know, 100 million. Oh, we should go and buy a midfielder and you should go and buy a striker. Well, yeah, of course you should go and do both of those two things. But in the current game and the way Chelsea are blowing the market up and inflated everything, that's going to cost you probably 250, 300 just on two players. So it doesn't matter who the owners are then, and there's other decisions to be made, you know what I mean, about how you build your project. So lots of questions, I think, for United going forward. We've seen the question today that you're not quite as good when you rotate, but they stage managed it. They got out of jail. They did the work. I think that last 20 minutes, I was really pleased because the character came through. Yeah, United's character that they've built over these last 20, 30 games, the character of being fighters and working out problems, problem solving on the job, they did that against a Leeds team that weren't really offering a lot of bite. But Leeds would have beaten you today if you'd given them the opportunities that you gave them at Old Trafford. So we didn't really give them those chances today. They had opportunities, but it wasn't nearly as kind of over as it was at Old Trafford. And we got away with it. You got away with it. You take your 3 points. You smile, you laugh, you go on to the next match. And you hope that those people around you in the table, those teams, that they all continue to drop points too.
And guys, we're going to finish on that. Thank you so much for all your comments. And make sure to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, give us a follow on at MayNightMC. And give Rob a follow on at @Rob_B. Huge, huge victory for United today. Massive, massive 3 points. Always great to be Leeds. We've got another game left without Casemiro. We'll see you all next time.